I feel very honored to, you know, to be able to share with you and preach this morning. You know, it's such an honor to honor the Word of God, honor Jesus in His Word. And I just have such a hungry heart. And I just felt like there's a holy moment here. I'm crying. I just feel like I just don't want to just go about the normal rhythms of life and church rhythms without that authentic encounter with the living God. And I just want you to know, whoever you are, wherever you're from, wherever whatever your life has been this week, that God is so near. He is Emmanuel. And as we walk into Easter this week, that we will see and we'll be reminded of the God who pursued our hearts. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what it is to be heralds of the gospel, what it is to be people who serve, not our will, but His. And it all starts with an encounter. It all starts with the knowledge of God, because it's religion if we just do the work without this place of the knowledge of God. And Paul knew this, and his encouragement to us in Ephesians was that you need to have eyes to see. You actually need the understanding of your heart and to be opened right up. And so I just want to pray and welcome Holy Spirit to do what He does best in opening eyes and opening hearts. Does anyone want to open heart today? So Holy Spirit, we welcome You just to crack open our hearts, Lord. If there's any thick layers, if there's anything that would hinder our sensitivity to Your Spirit, we say, Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Would You come and move in our hearts? Enlighten Your Word to us, that our hearts, oh God, that our hearts would be emboldened with love, be strengthened with love, that You would blow upon and fan the coals, the flame of love in our hearts, that we would be wild with love. Wildfire for You, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to open this iPad, excuse me for a second. It's Carolina's birthday, the code, so I can't forget it. All right, awesome. So my heart for today is that we would connect with Christ's invitation to follow Him, to be a witness. It's an invitation to live as He lived, to love as He loved, and to serve as He served. You know, last week we had the incredible Pastor Andy Goulet here with us, just an incredible evangelist and man of God who has obviously was faithful with an idea called Red Frogs, and God blew upon it, and it's become this incredible movement that's seen thousands come into the kingdom, all through serving. And he spoke around the gospel and the power of the gospel, and today we're just going to dive into that a little bit more. The good news of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God and of the salvation to be obtained in it through Christ, and of what relates to this salvation. So we are incredible. We are the witnesses of this incredible gospel. And I loved Andy last week. He shared about when we're a witness to the gospel, it takes the pressure out of being the ones who have to like have all the details and all the answers and all the ducks in a row in response. But we just, let's give witness to what we have seen, what we have tasted in the beauty of God. And so this theme that we're leaning into on the gospel as we lead into Easter, it reminds me of the commission. Well, what is the message that we bring to the world? It's go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, the good news to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So we've actually been invited to play a part of a story that's way bigger than our own. And our culture, what it does is it brings our life down into this small space of what career will I do? It brings us into a small space of me and my family. It brings us down into a small space when Christ's actually inviting us into the space of a generational gospel that is going to the ends of the earth. He's inviting us into his story. We have been invited to play a part of God's story, and he's invited us to take up our cross. And so as we walk into the Via Dolorosa, which is actually mean it's a pathway of grief or a pathway of suffering, what Jesus walked to walk to Calvary for us. That pathway is like a pathway we walk on as we learn to navigate what it is to take up our cross and follow Jesus. And we don't necessarily sell that on billboards, do we? Come, take a cross and drop dead, you know, like... Yet, this is the core of the gospel. The core of the gospel is actually that we wouldn't just observe Jesus' beauty, but we would actually become like him. That we would actually be little Christs in the world. That his gospel and his cross would wear a mark on our shoulder everywhere we go. That it's not where we just pick it up and take it to some parts of our world, but we actually take it into every part of the world. This implement that was an implement used for the most graphic of painful of deaths is actually the implement that we are to carry around to remind ourselves that we're not in it for ourselves. And when life gets difficult and when the tension comes, that we actually learn that we are reminded what we're carrying a cross and we're living for a cause that's way beyond our own. So what are you living for? I think as we look at the Gospels, as we look at Jesus' life, he's not only the Son of God, but he's also fully man. Fully God, which means that he was faithful as a man to administer what God asked him to do. So therefore, what are we being faithful with our humanity? Jesus is inviting us to be faithful with our humanity, take up our cross and to follow him. We're learning that we've been commissioned to live life where, like Christ, we're about our Father's business. Jesus said that I only do what I see the Father doing. When I think of that, my heart just, there's a deep conviction, a deep unsettledness of like, you know, could I say that about my life? That I only do what my Father is doing? You know, I'm not lumping on religion. I'm not lumping on this pressure right now. What I'm trying to do is look at the Gospels and let it read my life. Look at the Gospels and let it look at Jesus' life and see the invitation for the type of life he's drawing me into. It's radical love that takes us there, not legalism. And Mark 9 says, and he sat down and called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. This is the way of Christ, to be servant of all. Yet we, for some reason, put ourselves as the hero of our own stories, where life and all of its meaning finds when we get the most contentment out of life, and when we get the most sense of where we're going and what we want out of life. I'm sorry, this is truth, this is scripture, I promise, but it is real. We make it about our story. We make it about what we want out of life. When Jesus is actually inviting us, the most incredible out of us all will actually not be the ones who've got it all together on the human perspective. The most incredible of all, the leaders are those who serve, those who take on the nature of Christ. And we're going to land on this passage in Philippians, at the end of this preach, where we're gonna look at Jesus and the way he took on that posture of a servant in humility. I think there's an invitation for us to take the gospel on freshly. When Jesus came, he modeled a selfless love, a servanthood that made the Father's business his highest agenda. In the garden, crying tears, he prayed, Jesus willingly surrendered his will for the Lord's. In the lead up to the cross, In the moments in that quiet garden, he prayed tears of blood. He says, not my will, but yours. So what does that actually look like? And how did the disciples live that type of life? You interested? Well, you're about to find out. The disciples modeled this in an incredible way. If you look through all the gospels, all the epistles, they often start with this phrase that Simon Peter, a servant, James, a servant, Jude, a servant, Timothy, a servant, and Paul wrote, Paul, a servant. What's really interesting is that word for servant is a word called doulos. And that Greek word actually means to be devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. One who gives himself up wholly for another's will. There's an invitation from heaven to live for another will, not our own. And so Paul writes in Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Father. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle. He defines himself first as servant, and that word, doulos, to he was devoted to Christ and to his purposes above his own interest. So where is this word doulos at work? It's really interesting to actually see that word doulos is also can be translated slave, which it has really bad connotation, doesn't it, in our culture. And actually, the reason why the translators didn't use slave, they used servant instead, was actually because of the connotation in our culture, although it is best translated slave. Isn't that wild that we're invited to be so dedicated to the cause that we're a slave to it? How is that a positive connotation? What is that? I see doulos at work in so many moments in life. When I think of a mother, am I right? Doulos, to be devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interest. When I think about a mother, where the birth, seriously, body changes, the maternal responsibilities. And we do this willingly. Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There's actually a beauty in it, but yet there's a living for a will beyond our own. When I think of doulos at work, I think of Carolina, obviously. Yeah, she became willingly devoted to my children as her own. In a selfless gift of love toward them, that they may become giants in the kingdom and that they may know love. That's what doulos is. It's like she didn't have to go back to the 2 and 4 year old stages or 3 and 4 and 6 at the time, but she did. That's doulos. It's to live according to the will of not, it's not better for me. It's actually, I'm living for the will of another. I'm sowing my life. When I think of doulos at work, I think of Kelsey. The times she was one of the first, ever since I started at the church, one of the first people I would see here on a Sunday morning, setting up, packing up. And this is after being a full-time teacher at school all week. She's here setting up and pouring her life out for hours and hours to make sure the next generation would know the gospel well. Kelsey, a doulos, a servant of the gospel. When I think of doulos at work, I think of life group leaders. The cost that people come into your house and it ends up a lot messier than when you first walked through the doors, or I think of like the meals that you prepare for them, or like the work that goes into being the responsible one, that it always happens because you're always there. And that's something our culture doesn't seem to get over. Actually, we need people who are steadfast, faithful disciples who can disciple a generation, who are willing servants, slaves even, according to scripture, of the gospel of Christ, where we put aside our will for the purposes of His will. Now, my intent isn't to say this to try to get more leaders on board. This is us trying to be faithful to respond to God's word. When I think of other people in, you know, so many examples in the life of our church of people who are faithfully pouring their lives out, like Doulos. So I'm going to just dive into this one passage for a few more minutes. And we're going to see a few more things that Paul's understanding of, well, why did he do that? Why did he choose to pour his life out in such a way? What was his why? So going back to Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of the faith of God's elect. So why was he a servant? Why was he an apostle? For the sake of God's elect. So one of the first things I want us to remember as we find ourselves living into a life of doulos is that we have to remember, like Paul did, that there is, what is your personal assignment? Paul knew his personal assignment. His personal assignment was to disciple the Jewish people of the Jewish faith. He was bringing together the two rich worlds of an encounter with Jesus Christ and a Jewish upbringing. And he was bringing both of those things together and preaching Christ through the beauty of the Jewish order. Does that make sense? And so he brought those things together. He realized that he had a specific assignment. So yes, we are part of a big narrative, but you have an assignment. You are called by the living God, and He has not forgotten you. He has something beautiful for your life that only you can bring into the world. You've been placed intentionally and specifically into your family, into your culture, into your workplace, in ethnicity, your hobby groups, in order that just like the people of Israel to whom Paul was called, you are called. You are called to bring life and witness to the gospel of Jesus, to be doulos, laying down your agenda to bring the gospel's agenda into every arena. Now, this doesn't mean you're there to manipulate the message every chance you get. What it is you go, like what our amazing friend Andy Goulet said, how is God actually calling you to serve? It's to simply serve. Just find someone and pour your life out for them. Serve them into the kingdom. Love them into the kingdom. And so if you find yourself every Saturday morning with soccer kids and soccer parents, serve them. Buy the oranges and like chop them up and love them and do it without any responsibility. Don't put a roster together. Say, I'm in. I'm going to be faithful to love until there's lives that are poured, experiencing the life of God through my life. So how do we bring the gospel? We serve. We become doulos slaves to the people that we want to see drawn into the kingdom. You know, Andy Gulley also talked about I'm going to do this one day, and I was going to do that, and that Bible study I was going to do, and that prayer group I was one day going to do it. What if we just didn't do we just did it? What if we actually took on the gospel for ourselves and say, I'm going to do this week at this time? It actually takes legs to put these ideas to work. And Jesus, for greater love has no man than he lays his life down for another. Now, you may not even get kudos. You may not even get a high five. You may not even see someone walk through the doors of the church. But what you have done is to be faithful to love the least of these. Give a cup of cold water in his name. They experience the beauty of Jesus through the beauty of our lives. Amen? So Paul's why. He knew that he had a specific calling to the faith of the elect. Second thing he knew was the knowledge of the truth. Paul had a knowledge of the truth. His knowledge of God was shaped not only by his Jewish tradition, but also a personal awakening. So the question is, what is your story? Where have you seen God faithful in your life? And that's what we're called to be witness to. That's what Paul did here. He knew that he was a slave to God, but for the purpose of why? Because he had an encounter to bring to the world. Because he had a story. Because his life, he had the knowledge of truth. He had a view, a glance of who God is. Now, we will never see the whole picture. That's what eternity is for. But right here, right now, your view of God matters. Where you've seen him work through your life matters. Paul, there's three situations in scripture where we see this at work. He was knocked off a horse in Damascus where he encountered God and his life changed forever in that moment. Secondly, we see a trance in the temple where God directs him for ministry and directs his next steps. The third thing we see Paul encounter God is a vision in prison, which was again, ministry encouragement. You got this, mate. And also direction. So your life and your experiences, your witness is the closest thing to the Bible that your community may ever read. So church, let's not be ashamed of the gospel because this is the good news of God for salvation in the world that we live. Our stories, the way that God has touched our lives. And thirdly, the thing that we see in Paul's life is that he was focused on eternal life. Paul was devoted to seeing the gospel shared for the salvation of the world, that all would know eternal life in Christ. So the question I have for us is, am I actually motivated by eternity? Am I motivated by love? Would we love so much that we would be willing to serve? We'd do doulos, we'd become slaves to Jesus, love slaves to Jesus because we've tasted and seen that he is good and that we willingly would pour our lives out for the sake of eternity. People's eternity is up for grabs. The fourth thing we see about Paul is that it was the way of Christ. We model our lives on Christ. So Christ actually encourages us to take up our cross and to follow him. And so that what that means is it's not a you do you culture. Actually, it's your will be done, not my will be done. And as soon as your eternal narrative becomes, Lord, what about me? There's been a shift of devotion. Devotion to self rather than devotion to God. Not my will, but yours be done. And so I just wonder, what would it look like for a whole community to keep that in check? To be poured out like a drink offering, like the Bible says, a willing gift to the Lord. To be like Christ in Philippians 2. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Everyone say same mind. Having the same love. Everyone say same love. Being in full accord with one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. See, this is Bible. I promise everything I said, this is Bible. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Taking the form of a servant. Did you know that that word for servant there is doulos? Jesus became a slave for love, for his father. He became a servant of all. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Church, at his name, every knee will bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why don't we stand together? So to close this time, I just want to share this one moment in Scripture that we see doulos at work. In that time, there were slaves that lived in homes serving family groups, and they were called bond servants. And they would give themselves for a period of 7 years, and at the end of the seven-year period, they would be given their freedom back. But there were these rare moments when after 7 years, the slave actually says, I don't want my freedom. Living in your house and living under your authority and living with your blessing and living with your ring in my ear is more valuable than freedom doing my own thing. To be a bondservant of Christ. And so the bondservant would go to the entry of the house, the doorpost of the house, put their head on the post, and they would drive a nail into the ear and place a ring that marked the possession of that bondservant to the house for the rest of their days. What would it be like, church, if we put our ear to the post, doorpost of God's house and say, Lord, for the rest of my life, I surrender. Your purpose is not my own. What would it look like, church, for it to be more devoted to Him than to Netflix, to be more devoted to His word than to any other foreign philosophies that we're part of in our culture? What would it be like to be devoted to Him? I tell you what, there's something happened in those 7 years that made you want to think, I want to be part of that home. So Jesus, today as a church family, we want to put our ear to the doorpost and say, would you mark our lives? Because we want to be devoted to your cause in the earth. We want to be doulos, slaves and servants to your gospel. Not that we first loved you, but Lord, that you first loved us and you poured your life out for us. And as we walk into this week and Easter and remembering your life poured out, will we not only remember the life that you poured out for us, but that we would honestly take up our cross and learn to live the life of serving. For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified, that they shall build up the ancient ruins, that shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I'm just going to invite the worship team just to sing a chorus a few times of a song, just to worship. And I just want to encourage us, can we go to that place of prayer for a few minutes, that place of devotion to Jesus and say, Lord, catch me up in your story all my life for your glory. Lord, catch me up in your story.
So hallelujah, Christ the Redeemer, the world. Death cannot stand between us, no power can separate the Father from His children, the church that He is building. Give glory and praise, hallelujah.
Glory and praise.
Christ the Redeemer. cannot stand between us. No power can separate the Father from His children, the church that He is building. Give glory and praise, glory and praise, glory and praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah to Christ the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. Death cannot stand between us, no power can separate the Father from His children, the church that He is building.
In different ways responded to the Lord today, but I just want to give the opportunity for anyone who just wants to like deeply say, yes, Lord, I want to respond to you and have a bigger yes in my heart this week, this today. I just want to invite you to come up the front. No one's going to pray for you. We're going to just sing once or twice more times, but just as almost like a physical demonstration of saying, God, I want to take your gospel on my shoulders. I want to take my cross and follow you. I just want to invite you up the front just to have a moment of prayer and dedication to the Lord. Is that all right? No pressure.
Just as we've worshipped today, just as the invitation from the Lord has gone out through Jared, being this all in, yes, this all in, God, I give you everything. I take up my cross. We can only do such a thing because He first wore the scars on His back. He's the only first took up the cross Himself. He only first did it. We're just following in His footsteps. We're just copying Him. We're just doing as we see Him do. And in this moment before we go out, we'll go out praising God in just a moment, but maybe you're in this room and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. The message you received today is an invitation. He's a good father that knows how to give good gifts to his children. The scripture that we all know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus for you, my friend. Jesus took up his cross, not just for some spectacle. He did it for you. Like Jared said, that scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He looked past the cross. He saw your face. And he said, this is good. This is good. Let's go. Let's go. If you're in this place, you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. Maybe you have. Maybe you've walked away. And you feel like you need to come back to the Father. Come back to him. Come back home this morning. Really simple. Two things I want to do with you. I want to pray with you in a moment. And then after that, we're going to have a conversation over at the Yes Bar. Really simply. I want to follow Jesus. We get to pray together, and then we get to have a conversation. If you're in the room this morning and that's you, you feel your spirit moving. You can't shake it. You feel like he's pursuing you. My friend, he is. All you need to do is say yes this morning. And the way we're going to do that, on the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand so I can see who we're praying with. Pray together, and then we're going to have a conversation. That's you. I want to say yes to Jesus this morning. On the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. No one else looking around. It's not about you and them. It's about you and Jesus this morning. But Father, we just thank you for every person in this room. Fathers, we've received your invitation. That living for ourselves is not the best thing for us. Living for you is the greatest exchange that we can offer. Father, and if there was a person who lifted a hand or lifted a heart this morning I didn't see, God, as they've said yes to you, let them inherit not just some religious system, not a church affiliation, but the living God into their world, into their heart, into their life. Father, we thank you that the old is gone, the new is come. The sin, the guilt, the shame that used to have authority over them no longer does. But Father, they're made anew in Christ, joined in his death and joined in his life as well. So Lord Father, we just pray that you would give them a passion for your word, a passion for worship, a passion for your people. And God, that this would not just be a decision on a Sunday, but the beginning of a journey to find and discover all that you are, to walk in the fullness of Christ and to find their personal mission and assignment that you've set out before them. So God, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for new stories, redemption, and we honor you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Can we give God praise and honor anyone that may have decided this morning?
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you are with us today. If you want support for prayer, or maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus, make sure you click the link below and make it a personal connection. Thanks for being with us. We can't wait to see you next time.